As a longtime complementary medicine practitioner, I know how important it is to ensure that the supplements I prescribe are genuine, professional grade, and effective. That's why I use Fullscript as my online dispensary, so I can send my patients as well as Intelligent Medicine listeners the exact products they need. If you're a healthcare provider, do what I did and sign up for a free Fullscript account. Just go to fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. It's the easiest way for you to prescribe the exact supplement protocols your patients need. Fullscript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. Sign up for a free Fullscript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. That's fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla, where we answer the questions that you send us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And we got some great questions this week. So Layla, take it away.
Yeah. We've got an email from Steven. Why do so many nutraceuticals take so long to start working compared to pharmaceutical drugs? For example, I have arthritis. It takes many weeks, even months, before the anti-inflammatory effects of nutraceuticals like fish oil and curcumin kick in, but only a few hours for an anti-inflammatory like Advil or Celebrex to take effect, right? It's true.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, part of it is they're weaker. I mean, they frankly are weaker. With a few exceptions, they're generally weaker than conventional medicines. So for that same reason, they're more amenable to self-care because it's less likely you can get yourself in trouble. You know, something the benefits may be less dramatic, but also the downsides are less dramatic. And you just have to look at the statistics of people who are harmed by medications versus people who are harmed by supplements. I think there's probably a difference, thousandfold in magnitude between the drug side effects and the,
especially something like Celebrex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing is that, some supplements work more on the cause rather than on the effect.
The symptom, right.
Yeah. So they don't just knock out the symptoms. They may balance the metabolism or gradually reduce inflammation over time. And thus you get a more, in my opinion, a superior and more permanent resolution of the problem.
So, yeah, in other words, fish oil and curcumin would not be called pain relievers, but Advil and Celebrex are.
Yeah.
You know.
They work directly on the pain pathways, and curcumin and fish oil are anti-inflammatories.
Yes. And it's a trade-off. Fish oil and curcumin aren't going to cause a leaky gut. Fish oil and curcumin aren't going to have the side effects and be hard on the kidneys the way Advil or Celebrex might be. So, you know, the other thing I would recommend to Steven is because he has arthritis, you should try removing the nightshades, the nightshade family of vegetables.
Right.
You know, and if you have a garden, that means stop growing tomatoes, stop growing peppers of all kinds, stop growing eggplant. You know, and stop eating white potatoes.
Yeah, even cayenne can be part of that family. So
cayenne and paprika should be avoided.
Yep.
Yes.
So I also point out that this is there's a difference in philosophy here, is that I think Americans have been conditioned to want, you know, in a variety of ways, fast relief, instantaneous results. They've also been coddled a little bit to the point where they feel that any degree of discomfiture, whether it's gastrointestinal or whether it's a headache or whether it's some joint pain, is just unacceptable. And I think this is the first time in history, you know, the last maybe 50 years or so, where we've had those options, you know, to zap any type of physical discomfort or inconvenience. And when we look at a natural medicine approach, we aspire towards overall better health, but maybe in a more general fashion and not so much in a, you know, laser-like targeting whatever, my headache, my urinary symptoms, my, you know, my sexual problems, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, and, you know, sometimes, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, there's a couple of ways to go. One is the long, short path, and the other one is the short, long path. And I think that the supplements represent the long, short path. It takes a long time, but it is, you know, it'll get you there. And the medicine is the short, long path. It's a short, seemingly it's alluring because it's a short path, but ultimately it may be a long path because of all the dependency issues and side effects associated with medications. So, and just don't get me wrong, I'm not inalterably opposed to medication. And I do whip out the prescription pad, as you know, Layla, but very conservatively.
Yes. Yes. So, Steve, consider all of that, and oh gosh, hope you feel better soon.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's also, you know, just keep in mind that the average American, I think studies have shown the average American who is in their 60s is on at least 3, 4, 5 medications. You know, so we just love our pills. We love our pills.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's looking for a magic bullet, so yeah. Okay. We have an email from Laura. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Love your show. I read over Dr. Hoffman's Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. I'm a 48-year-old female. I'm 110 pounds. Because of this, the starter kit, can I take half the supplements you suggest and take the multi? What is your recommendation on my use of the starter kit?
Yeah. So she's referring to something that we've inaugurated as, you know, people have, in response to popular demand, we've created some protocols which are targeted to various conditions. So, for example, we launched the heart health protocol. But before we did that, we put out what's called a starter kit, which is just the basic things that you need to stay healthy. And, you know, for tolerance reasons or for economic reasons, people may not want to take the full dose of what I recommend in the starter kit.
Yeah.
So that's okay. You'll get some of the benefit. It's not an all or nothing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can find that at drhoffman.com and under the shop section at the top, there's a drop down menu and it'll lead you to the protocols.
Yeah. Great. That's great, Laura, checking out the starter kit. Wonderful.
And we're coming up with some really good ones. We've got a brain health protocol coming up for people who want to optimize brain function. We also have a great bone health protocol for people concerned about forestalling bone loss. And we're just going to keep rolling them out over time. And
terrific.
Also, we're arranging, this is a little bit of a coding issue with the with FullScript. But by this month, we should have what are called SKUs, which are discount packages, which incorporate, you know, you can order like the whole kit, you know, for a discount. So that's something that we'll be doing.
That's something to take advantage of. Discount is terrific.
And free shipping. I mean, in this day and age of Amazon, we got it, you know, free shipping. We got our upper game, so.
Okay, Laura, best of luck to you. All right. We've got an email here. No name, but a great question. I have a question about the specific carbohydrate diet, which is the Elaine Gottschall diet. Does it repair the intestinal walls that are damaged by diverticulitis? What a great question.
And that is the specific carbohydrate diet, which is outlined in Elaine Gottschall's classic book, Breaking the Vicious Cycle, is the diet that we use for patients who have frequent attacks of diverticulitis. We want to avoid losing a piece of their intestine because ultimately that's the, you know, if you just keep getting attacks and have to take antibiotics all the time, eventually they're going to say, your intestines
are remove your colon. Yes.
Yeah. Well, at least the segment that's damaged. You know, they try not to remove the whole colon, but, you know, the segment that's damaged, pretty commonly performed operation. And what we've found is that I would say it's about 50-50. Some people come to us and it's too late. You know, they mm-hmm. Don't respond to the diet. But I have to say that at least half the people who follow the diet, and, you know, there's a little bit of sacrifice involved there. You have to follow the diet carefully, and yeah. then you can avoid the surgery. And if that's not for you and you want to just eat like a house on fire, fine, you know, then, you know, give up a piece of your intestine. But if you're willing to follow a diet, which, by the way, is very healthy and may help you in other ways, it could help you with yes. Overweight, hypertension, diabetes, cardiovascular risk. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really clean diet, and it may help to quiet down your diverticulitis.
Yeah, I could think of several cases where after having repeated bouts of diverticulitis attacks that some of our patients mm-hmm. go completely into remission yep. as long as they stay on SCD. Mm-hmm. And there are those that once they've wavered off, something may happen or something like that. And they find themselves always returning back to specific carbohydrate diet to take care of those symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it's really gratifying to see the power. I mean, this is powerful medical yep. nutrition therapy.
And what is the specific carbohydrate diet for people not familiar with it? Can you outline it? And
yes,
you know, why might it be helpful for this?
Basically, what were the foods that cause trouble for the GI tract are eliminated. These are the disaccharides, meaning sugars, your table sugar, soft drinks, things of that nature, and the polysaccharides, grains, mm-hmm. starches of all types, mm-hmm. even including potatoes. Mm-hmm. And chickpeas. So basically, you're eating a very healthy whole foods diet of all of your protein sources, your red meat, your poultry, your fish, wild game, all of that. You've got the gamut mm-hmm. of vegetables. Practically all vegetables are included there except starchy ones like potatoes. Mm-hmm. And you've got fruit.
It's kind of paleo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of paleo. You've got fruit. You can even have real fruit juice. Mm-hmm.
It is not really exceedingly low carbohydrate. You know, for patients who have diverticulitis and maybe they have weight issues, we'll tell them to restrict their carbohydrates a little more. Because,
exactly.
The diet, by the way, is designed for children because we see a lot of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease in children. And children who are growing, we don't particularly want to put them on a very, very low carbohydrate diet unless it's absolutely necessary, unless they need mm-hmm. to lose weight. So they need carbs. And they also need foods that are tasty and sweet. So
like
there are
fruit.
Certain sugars. Yeah, there's certain sugary foods that are the right kind of sugar for this diet. I mean, nobody should take in artificial sugars, but you know, we want them to be able to have desserts, you know, tasty mm-hmm. things, and not be in a state of deprivation.
Right, and the sugar that is allowed is fructose. Fructose is found in fruit, mm-hmm. in real fruit juice, and in honey. Mm-hmm. So these are allowed, but table sugar is not, molasses is not, maple syrup is not. Certainly the artificial sweeteners are out, with the exception of one, which is saccharin, but I never promote its use,
no,
even on this type of an eating plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of finding variety. You're allowed to have nuts and seeds.
Yeah.
You can have baked goods made from almond flour, from walnut flour. Some from coconut flour as well. So it's a pretty varied, really good, tasty
diet. I made some pancakes the other day that were SCD pancakes. They were really great. I had a little almond flour, a little coconut flour, and mm-hmm. Eggs. And I had, you know, when a banana sits there too long, you know, it gets kind of mushy.
That always
gets me to make the pancakes because, then I put in a couple of eggs and a little almond flour, a little coconut flour, mush the banana in with it. Put a little baking soda in it so it bubbles up and rises, and you know, add a little bit of, I would call shortening, but you know, obviously not Crisco. In this case, ghee, melted ghee. Mix it together, drop it in the pan, and it's a reasonable facsimile of IHOP. for somebody who's I don't do it every day because it's a little caloric, you know.
Yeah. The other food group that's allowed on specific carbohydrate diet is dairy. You're allowed certain hard cheeses, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which have virtually no lactose at all.
Right.
So as long as you're not allergic to dairy, you can have that, and you could have 24-hour fermented yogurt.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, interesting discussion with Dr. Recent discussion that we had about ulcerative colitis the diet that was used by Mel Gravitt, who is an expert on pediatric inflammatory bowel disease. And he, you know, I asked him what he thought of the SCD, and he said it's great, except he has a couple of differences. One is he allows white rice, that's the only grain, and he completely eliminates dairy. And so it's a variation on that. And he's achieved quite a lot of success with pediatric patients, young kids with inflammatory bowel disease. So
that's good news.
You know, it, and what it illustrates is you have to be, you know, I think you've learned this in this field. You can't be rigid. You have to be supple, and you have to adjust the diet according to patients' individual characteristics.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is highly individual. There are some patients who just cannot or will not go where you need them to go. So you gotta have to walk them and take some baby steps or just modify it based on their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people with inflammatory bowel disease, they're able to progress to taking in resistant starch like beans, potatoes. Really, really can be really good because it helps the short chain fatty acid formation, the butyrate, which is very, very healthy for the gut, for the large bowel. So there are a lot of different modifications that can be done. Yeah.
Hence the need sometimes for dietary guidance from a professional nutritionist. Okay, we have time for one more question, so let's tackle that.
Okay.
Some business to take care of. I want to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you, so listen up. Here goes. As a longtime complementary medicine practitioner, I know how important it is to ensure that the supplements I prescribe are genuine, professional-grade, and effective. That's why I use FullScript as my online dispensary so I can send my patients, as well as Intelligent Medicine listeners, the exact products they need. If you're a healthcare provider, do what I did and sign up for a free FullScript account. Just go to fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. It's the easiest way for you to prescribe the exact supplement protocols your patients need. FullScript stocks the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The best part, FullScript sends out refill reminders, so it's totally effortless for your patients to stay on track with their supplement protocols. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant, and they offer world-class support. Improve patient outcomes, rest easier knowing your patients are getting exactly what you prescribed them. FullScript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. Sign up for a free FullScript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. That's fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsor. And now, back to Intelligent Medicine. We've got more questions on our weekly Q&A with Layla. What's next?
Okay, we've got a question from Rocky. We had actually answered a question for him before. Let me get into this here. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Thanks for your wonderful show. I heard your advice on nutritional advice for newborns. Remember, Dr. Hoffman?
Yep.
I said breastfeeding exclusively and nothing else.
Right.
Rocky's asking, but how about nutrition and supplements for the expectant mother?
Mm-hmm.
Terrific question.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Well, besides being on a prenatal multi, some fish oil, some phosphatidylcholine is also helpful. And the type of fish oil
The product that I recommend is, I believe isn't it one we still recommend called Basic Prenatal?
Yes.
And it's got more of everything than the, you know, prescription stuff that your OBGYN is going to give you.
Yeah.
And that's because I think they're just sort of running scared about supplements. And, you know, I got to say, in terms of the patients we've treated, very safe, very effective. And I even recommend it to family members. I've got, you know, a couple of gals who are pregnant now, and we have them on those things and with great confidence in their safety and effectiveness. So Basic Prenatal, I think, is the name of the product. You can get it at FullScript, which is our online dispensary. Keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, the fish oil with more DHA, which is important for babies' brain development and eye development. Have a more intelligent kid.
I mean, the question I usually ask is like
DHA.
It's like I ask the question: how smart do you want your kid to be? Do you want you know, trade school? Do you want college, community college? Do you want state school?
Theoretical physicist.
Do you want Ivy League? Do you want like a perpetual scholar? You know, with multiple degrees, and you know, it'll cost you big bucks. So you better be careful, because you get too much of this DHA to your kid, you know, you're going to be working for a long time trying to put your kid through school. So beware.
Oh, certainly vitamin D for the expectant mother.
We give a little additional vitamin D. I think there's a couple of thousand in this basic prenatal, which is pretty aggressive, but I'd like about 4,000 for patients.
Yeah.
And we measure levels.
Very important, Rocky, that the expectant mother stay away from certain seafood that may be high in mercury. A good website for that is gotmercury.org. Gotmercury.org. So pregnant women should not be having swordfish, tuna, shark, tilefish, king mackerel, orange ruffy. Be careful that lobster. Don't have it too often.
And how about a little bit of magnesium, a little extra magnesium, perhaps?
Little extra magnesium is fine, especially in the beginning. I think towards the end, the magnesium has to be moderated a little better because it may slow down labor.
Also, so women tend to be constipated, so the magnesium tends to work in the opposite direction and helps that. Another important nutrient that we'd like to boost a little bit is choline, because choline has also been shown to be beneficial. It's just a nutrient that a lot of people don't get enough of, and it's important in pregnancy.
Vitamin C may prevent preeclampsia.
Okay. And there's another one that's
vitamin C is important.
Another one that lately has been shown to prevent preeclampsia, which is arginine. I don't know if every woman who's pregnant needs arginine, but if there's signs of preeclampsia, we might go with some additional arginine. Yeah, and that's the nitric oxide
pathway. To help vasodilation, to help lower the blood pressure.
That's the nitric oxide pathway,
yeah.
So arginine is being considered as a treatment for, emerging preeclampsia. And perhaps a probiotic, because you want good flora to transmit to the baby. You want to optimize your intestinal flora, which ultimately becomes the vaginal flora, and then the vaginal flora is transmitted to the baby. So those are among the things that we want to do.
Yeah. A very clean diet, nothing raw, nothing undercooked, no sushi, no cold cuts. If you're a cold cut eater, a pregnant woman must cook her cold cuts.
And I just want
Unpasteurized cheeses, no unpasteurized
That's
cheese
per
or
the
milk.
Risk of listeriosis. No listeriosis is the risk.
Which may cause miscarriage.
And I also want to point out, that, when it comes to, whatever multi you're taking, make sure that it contains folate and not folic acid. So you want something called L-methylfolate or 5-methylfolate as your source of vitamin B4. That's actually what folate is. And for this reason is that, folic acid has been shown to prevent neural tube defects, but you can also overaccumulate folic acid. And there may be some negative consequences in pregnancy. So with folate, it's the body-ready form of vitamin B4.
Yeah.
And that is preferable to folic acid, which actually a lot of people don't realize. It's synthetic.
It is.
If you eat spinach, you're going to get folate, but not folic acid.
Folic acid is typically what's used in a supplement
In the prescription stuff that you're going to get from the GYN. That's
in your fortified foods.
Yeah.
If you're a bread eater, a pasta eater, a lot of these flours have been fortified, and they're fortified with folic acid, not folate. So you want to be careful there as well.
So there you have it. I mean, that's a pretty comprehensive rundown on some things you should be doing and things you shouldn't be doing during pregnancy. And, your kid's going to be super, super, super healthy and smart.
Yeah.
Great. Good stuff.
Thank you, Rocky, for your question.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's Intelligent Medicine. Thank you, Layla, for joining us, sharing your expertise.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Until next week for Q&A with Layla.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212 772-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.